This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in Paul Emmick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emmick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And Paul, I'll ask you the same thing I asked everybody else. So after that game yesterday, how'd you feel?
Yeah, I mean, when you and I chatted about this a little bit last week and kind of anticipating this game, I said it was probably a situation where there's not going to be much. I know this may not be fair to say necessarily, but a loss would have made you feel like, oh my gosh, like what is wrong with this team? And there really wasn't any type of win, maybe short of 42-0 that would have made you feel particularly like, oh, this team is back on track, because the Giants are a bad team, and what we talked about last week a little bit, Bill, was how Daniel Jones, a promising young quarterback, but is a turnover machine, and he proved that a little bit yesterday. So the Packers took care of business. They deserve credit for that. They will certainly take the win and move on to the next one, which should also be a fairly similar type of game against a team that, isn't going anywhere this year, and that's for certain. And you kind of just watch the rest of the standings. So I don't feel, there's things I want to break down with you about the game, but overall it was a game that you just kind of had to take care of business. And I don't want to equate it to a non-conference Wisconsin Badgers game, like early in the season, because it's not that. I mean, it's not like that big of a talent disparity, but a Giants team on a losing streak that they're on with a rookie quarterback, even at MetLife. I mean, it was a game the Packers just had to win, and then they did, and they deserve credit for that, and they stay on track to maybe bounce back a little bit, especially with that Niners loss. But I don't feel a whole lot different, Bill, really, until the next time they face a good team, which may not happen until December 23rd in Minnesota.
So, Paul, now we were talking earlier about the offense and what we saw in San Francisco versus what we saw last night. Were you satisfied with spreading the ball around, even though they weren't able to really establish the run game and the offensive line wasn't tremendous? Were you satisfied with throwing it to 10 different receivers, getting a big day out of not only Devontae Adams, but also Alan Lazard, who's become your downfield threat? Aaron Rodgers throwing it to the guys out of the backfield, Jamal Williams 4 times, Aaron Jones 6 times. Were you good with that?
Well, I'm going to break that down into a couple different categories. The running game with Aaron Jones, who, not long ago, of course, we were touting as, and I'm not saying like a game or two discredits that, but, Aaron Jones didn't have a good game. Now, Jamal Williams came in and averaged 4 yards a carry, but I thought the Packers' offensive line was, from a run-blocking perspective, was average at best, and maybe even below average in a run-blocking perspective for the Packers' offensive line. So that has to be part of the equation when you're evaluating the offense. And it's not like the Giants have the type of front that San Francisco had, So you thought maybe there'd be some more openings there, or at least I'll speak for myself. That's what I would have expected going in. Alan Lazard might single-handedly have saved this team, Bill, because we went into the offseason talking about, do they need to add a wide receiver? We went in talking to the trade deadline about, do they need to add a wide receiver? None of this happened. Equanimeous St. Brown is on IR. Jamon Moore, fourth-round pick a year ago, is out of the league. Valdez-Scantling has, one catch over the past month and a half since mm-hmm. that Oakland game? Does he have, literally like one or two catches? Completely disappeared. For whatever reason, Kumerow is still getting marginal snaps. And I think Geronimo Allison had his best day of the season yesterday, but, I think we still know sort of the type of player he is. Alan Lazard is a revelation, man. He has maybe saved this team because they didn't go out and add a wide receiver at the deadline or in free agency or through the draft, and they depended on these young guys, and here comes Alan Lazard to maybe potentially save the day and maybe make Brian Gutekunst's overall decision-making on that position not seem as questionable as it otherwise might have. But I think there were some positive signs out of the offense, and especially I'll highlight Lazard. I'll highlight, like what you said, spreading the ball around a little bit and the Mercedes Lewis touchdown and some of those things. But again, you know, it's one of those things where you try to get healthy, so to speak. You try to get right. You try to get some feel good over these next game, two or three, heading into the Minnesota game, because you're not really, you know, you're not really truly being challenged until then. So between now and then, do some things that make you feel good. Do some things that you can test out, because the Packers are going to the playoffs. We know that. It's really just a matter of what type of seed and whether there's a bye or not and how many home games. And they still, Bill, I mean, especially with a rookie head coach calling the plays offensively, they have a lot to figure out and learn, and I think yesterday was step one of probably three or four steps that they need to try to figure things out before they get into a truly must-win game against a tough opponent.
Talking with our Green and Gold analyst, Paul Emig, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, Paul, Gary and I had said last night, like, it wasn't a flashy win. It kind of left you going, you know, not right. A lot of answers, so to speak. I guess if I'm looking at the positive side of things, you have guaranteed for the first time in a couple of years, you've got a positive record. You're not a losing record. You're pretty much into the postseason with a couple more wins almost guaranteed. You are leading your division. You are not losing consistently in your conference. You have the one loss in your conference. But in the grand scheme of things, I think you're sitting pretty well right now. If you're going to say, I'm going to look at the positives, what else would the positive be? Well, just the fact that they got a win, and they got a win with turnovers, and they got a win kind of going away against a mediocre Giants team? I mean, just look at it that way and say, you know what, they did what they were supposed to do in Clement situations.
That's all it is for me, Bill. And I mean, from a micro perspective, from a one-game perspective, that's what it is for me. I know that's not exciting. I know that's not sexy. And I know to a certain extent that minimizes the fact that the Giants are still a group of NFL players who are being paid good money to try to win football games. But, I mean, they have a coach on the hot seat who pretty much acknowledged his job security or lack thereof yesterday. I mean, it's a team that you even on the road, you need, even in the snow, you know, even in those conditions, you just have to go out and win. From a macro perspective, if you want to zoom this thing out a little bit, the Packers could probably sleepwalk to 12-4. Would you agree? It's not as if there's more than one daunting challenge left. And even if you were to beat the Vikings and maybe for some reason drop one of the three to Washington, Detroit, or Chicago, you know, you can probably sleepwalk to 12-4, and you're definitely not worse than 11-5. And so all things considered, you know, unfortunately for the Packers, the top of the NFC is strong. I mean, you might go 12-4 and be a four seed, which is incredible. And it really puts a lot of stakes into tonight's game with Minnesota and Seattle. In terms of consequences for the Packers. So, I mean, there's the immediate thought of the way that the game happened yesterday, which I would totally agree with your sentiment. It's kind of you know, and you don't want to diminish wins in the NFL. They're tough to come by, you know, cliche, that's all good. But it was one you just had to win. And now you look at it and you say, okay, like, you just need to get healthy for the playoff run. You need to have things in order for the playoff run. I'm, you know, outside of Za'Darius Smith, I mean, is there somebody else on defense that is going to really – and Jaire Alexander had another nice game yesterday, but the real impact guy was, once again, Za'Darius Smith. Are there other guys who can step in? The return game, Bill, continues on special teams, specifically on punt, continues to be abysmal. Can that be cleaned up over the next month in time for the playoffs? Because that is going to go down as probably the worst special teams grade a Packers team has ever had. And I include in that some of those years in like 2012, 2013, 2014. What was the name of that special teams coach? Oh, man, it's going to slip my mind at the top of my head here.
In 2013, 2014, was that Sean Slocum?
Thank you for Sean Slocum. Wow, you passed your pop quiz. That was really I failed.
Thank you very much.
God, Sean Slocum, I mean, they had some bad special teams groups under Sean Slocum. And this is going to surpass them all. And, you know, that's something that they can get right over the next month. Probably not, but maybe even some baby steps would be helpful from a special teams return game perspective.
Paul, always good to chat. We will chat again later in the week as we start to venture towards the Washington Redskins coming to town on Sunday, okay?
Sounds great, Bill. Thanks so much, man.
All right, Paul. Talk to you soon. There you go. Paul Emig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, then you're going to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.